Good morning. Good to see you in Sunday school this morning. Always good to look out and see you in your place. And you be much in prayer for the campers, as Brother Chris mentioned, as they have a full week of being together. We pray that God's word would prick their hearts, and pray that among these groups of kids that he would raise some leaders, some men and women who want to follow the Lord in service. And that would be, there would be no greater privilege than that for us to have a whole group of folks coming right behind us to carry on the faith and be leaders in God's church. So let's pray for that. And I want to say that Jerry, I almost called you Jerry, Larry. Larry got some good news, and we are grateful for that, and it's always good to have some good news. And he was looking at some pretty rough, things, and got some good news. So that's always welcome, and I'm so glad of that, thankful to the Lord for that. We have a few people on the road, and you pray for them that they'll come back to us safely. This morning, there will be no verses on the screen. Valerie's one of the campers. She always goes every year, so she won't be up there to put the verses on the screen. We're in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and we're close to finishing it up. And one of the things I was telling my wife, one of the things that has been such a blessing to me in this study is that there are so many things that have been drilled into my head and into my heart. I knew these things before, but going through them put the emphasis back into my heart, and I've been so blessed by this study. In fact, sometimes I come across things that I want to, do in a message, and so I found something in our text last week that just really, really spoke to my heart, and so I'm going to do that this next time that I speak. But that's the way God's word is. You know, if you give it time, if you give it the attention that it's worth, the Holy Spirit ends up speaking to your heart about something. And sometimes it's wonderful, sometimes it's a conviction, and we need that too. But we're in 1 John chapter 5, and I think we finished in verse 3 last week, but we're going to read the chapter to put us in the mindset. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, they're not heavy. When we keep them, they're not a burden. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ, the Son, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That's the Trinity. It's what we call the Trinity. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding. I want to quit or briefly stop right there and say that is a powerful verse. The Son of God has given us an understanding. The Holy Spirit resides in the heart of the believer, and as such, he imparts his wisdom to us and helps us make decisions. He helps us to think right. He helps us to say the right thing. Now, in the middle three chapters of this book, 2, 3, and 4, we saw John spend a great amount of time talking about us getting along and about us loving each other and serving each other. We saw that a lot. He emphasized that a lot. And I think that one of the things that Christians, sons and daughters of God the Father, one of the things that they have to understand is getting along and loving each other is perfectly possible if we listen to the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit. The problem is we get to listening to ourselves, because we all, just as we have the Holy Spirit residing in us, willing to impart wisdom to our minds and direction to our heart, we also have the old man, the old nature that we have, and he desires his attention. And so it's very important for us to know that if we seek wisdom and understanding, he will give it to us. That's a promise, and he'll do it through his word. And so the verse says, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen." Now, as I mentioned, we ended in verse number 3, and that was such a wonderful verse because it allows us to know what's truly important in our service to the Lord, that when we keep his commandments, when we make ourselves available to him to do his bidding and his service and our service to each other, those things are not grievous. Doesn't mean that they're not hard in and of themselves. They might be something that require a generous amount of effort from ourselves. But what it means is when Christ's commandments are kept, they're not a burden. And that's such a wonderful thought. And so as we go and we serve the Lord, we want if it becomes a burden, if it's something that we want to do, then I think one of the first things we need to check is do a heart check and see why it is what it is. Because we don't want to serve the Lord because Brother Chris tells us to, or because we want to please him, we want to serve the Lord because we want to have a life that is approved by him. And that's very, very important. So we go to verse number 4 as we continue, and it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Now let's just stop for a minute and get a bird's eye view of what we've been doing. The Apostle John, as he wrote the Gospel of John, He brought us, he declared unto us, Jesus, the Son of God. And then in his letters, he goes more deeper into that. And in chapter 1, he tells us that God is light. And he put the requirement out there that God is holy and he is just and he is righteous. And the only way we can serve him, the only way we can be approved of him is to do it through his Son, Jesus Christ. God is light. And if we're going to be a child of God, we have to do it by trusting and believing in the Son, Jesus Christ. And then in chapters 2, 3, and 4, the theme was God is love, as we mentioned a moment ago. And once again, the only way that I can love you and the only way that I can be of something to you is to do it for the purposes of wanting to be approved by Jesus Christ. I don't do it to gain your favor. I want your favor, but I don't do it for that. And so we see that God is light, God is love. It's an all-consuming thing that God is love. And if I am to love Jesus Christ, I'm going to love you. He died for you. The least I could do is to love you and to serve you. See, that's a powerful thought. We come to chapter 5, and the theme is God is life. And what we find out is the only life worth living for the Christian, for the child of God, is one in which we are overcoming sin in our life. Overcoming the world is what he's talking about. That's in the first 5 verses. And then we get to verse number 6, and we find out that the only Christian life that's worth living is one in which we have an assurance of our salvation. I've talked to a lot of people over the years that don't know whether or not they're saved. And I can't imagine living that way. John's going to help us with that here as we continue through this verse. And so he says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. If I am to be a successful child of God, if I'm going to live a life that pleases him, I've got to overcome the things that weigh me down and that stand between me and the Lord. That's got to happen. If I continue, our Lord says you cannot serve both God and mammon. There's no middle ground. I've got to find a way to live my life where he is approved. And he continues and says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What is it that overcomes the world? It's faith. We're saved by faith. We know that. We get our salvation when we accept the free gift of grace that he gives to us, that he paid for on the cross with his blood. That's how we're saved. But the chapter doesn't end there. We overcome the world by our faith. We're saved by faith, and we walk by faith. We're born children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, and faith is the only way in which you and I will be able to be a successful child of God, by faith. Now, we do have an enemy. We saw that in chapter 2. The enemy is our flesh. Chapter 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. There is in the world that which is of the flesh. And Satan so likes to use our flesh to draw us away from the Lord. We get caught up in it very easily. We can be trapped in it. And we're reminded right after that verse, which is 1 John 2:15, we have verse 16 that says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So if I'm going to be a successful Christian, I've got to keep those things under wraps. I've got to keep those things under control. We overcome the world. We're victorious by faith. What is faith? Well, you could put a lot of definitions on faith. One's believing God for what he says at face value. Trusting him. Think back to Joshua when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Joshua was on. He was the leader of this mighty nation that came out of Egypt. And one of the first obstacles down the road was this town named Jericho. And Joshua was a mighty leader. We know that God was with him, but I think Joshua had a few experiences in his life that gave him some faith. And so when he led that group of people to overcome that first enemy that they had, which was Jericho, and by the way, Jericho represents the world in which we live. He had the ability to throw his armies out there and his first grade militia and all this. His best fighters could have been out there, but that's not what happened, is it? He put the priest out there. He didn't fight. They didn't fight. They just did what God told them. That's a wonderful story. And they were successful because they trusted the Lord. And he had a few obstacles along the way. You remember the town of Ai? Ai is a picture of the flesh. And Joshua had all kinds of confidence that they were going to be victorious over Ai, didn't he? He just knew that they were going to slaughter the soldiers that they were going to fight up against. And what happened? They themselves had a great loss of people, a great loss of life. Ai represents the flesh. When you and I fight and try to become victorious in our Christian life, we're going to have to go against the world, but we're also going to have to go against our flesh. We do that every day. We get up every day and we decide by what we give allegiance to what kind of day it is. I tell you what, that's just one of the things that we all have to understand. When we get up and we give the Lord the best part of our day, and sometimes that's at nighttime for some people, and for me it's early in the morning, it seems that I have a strength, Lizzie, that I never have when I don't do that. That's the flesh. We ask the Lord to take care of our flesh when we give him the best part of our day. So Joshua had to overcome the city of Jericho, and he did it by believing God. There was no fighting involved. You know, they marched around the city for 6 days, one time a day, and then on the seventh day, they marched around the city 7 days, and the walls fell. They didn't have to do anything. They blew the trumpets. That's all they did. And they were victorious. They trusted God, that God would take care of the situation. Now, Joshua didn't get there overnight. He had those experiences in his life that where he was taught to trust the Lord. And you and I are the same way. If I'm to be victorious in my Christian life over those things that make me weak as a child of God, when I give into my flesh, then I'm not going to be able to be the one that does the battle. I have to trust the Lord. I have to have the faith. I have to put my all into his all. That's the only way we can overcome the world. Now, then Joshua not only had the city of Jericho, which represents the world, he not only had the city of Ai, where they suffered a great loss, and that represents the flesh, he also had the Gibeonites, who represent the devil. These were enemies that stood in the way of Joshua successfully leading God's people to the land to which they were promised, the Gibeonites. And they represent the devil. They deceived Joshua. You remember the story? And the Bible tells us that the devil was a liar from the beginning. As prince and power of the air, he deceives and he works in our life behind the scenes to sidetrack us. So here we've got these three enemies. We've got the world, we've got our flesh, and we've got Satan trying to get us off track. And here he says in verse number 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." Well, now, if I just read that at face value, I think what I need in my life is more of the Word of God, more of what is born of God, so that I can overcome the world with my faith. How are you going to gain the victory in your life? Well, increase your faith. How are you going to, you know, when Joshua took his people up to the gates of Jericho, he didn't tell them to get out the battering ram and get all the military strategies down to where they could successfully. No, he said, just believe God. God's going to take care of this thing. And God did take care of this thing. Often in my life, I come across a challenge, and before you know it, I'm thinking out of a fleshly way where I can fix the problem instead of giving it to the Lord. Well, I need to do this. I need to plan this, and I'm a planner. I love to plan. Now, many of my plans don't come to fruition, but I can plan like nobody's business. And sometimes, and the great part about getting older in life is you see this. You see this in yourself and whatever, you know, that's my weakness. You've got weaknesses. It may be totally different than that. But one of the great things about living the Christian life is in time you can catch yourself. And so I'll do something to overcome this right here. And, I'm not in it very long at all when I say, Dwayne, you dummy, take this to the Lord. Trust him that he's going to work this out. That's how we overcome. That's how we overcome the world, our flesh, and the devil. He says in verse number 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" The older I get, the more I've had to learn the hard way that this is all about Jesus. Our generation and the generations before us, we were good we're good at the routine, right? We're good at following the rules. The greatest generation followed the rules. They loved this country and they gave of themselves and they made themselves to be a part of something, and we've reaped as a country great benefits from that. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But one of the things that we have to realize is this is not about the routine that we're in. It's not about what you and I plan here today. It's all about Jesus. In our prayer room, we prayed that the power of the Holy Spirit, that's the partner of Jesus, by the way, the power of the Holy Spirit would be in this service. More than likely, with the campers gone, would be down in attendance. It's windy outside, and that kind of gets some of us down, you know. God, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would be in this service, and that's whatever is plaguing our minds and stopping us from trusting the Lord and being on the same page together as a church family, I pray that that would be minimized. That's how we prayed. And so in verse number 6, he turns the corner, and instead of talking about overcoming the world, he starts talking about us having assurance of salvation. Raise your hand if you know you're saved. That's crazy, isn't it? That's just something you automatically raise your hand to, because you don't want to be the one that doesn't. John ends this wonderful conversation about being in the family of God by saying that we can know that we're indeed a child of God. And so he says in verse number 6, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Now, I mentioned earlier that John in his gospel and John in all three of his letters point us to the fact that it's all found in Jesus. The only way to get to heaven, the only way to have a relationship with God, the only way to get sin off of our back and have victory, to overcome the world and overcome our flesh and overcome Satan, it's all about Jesus. That's what John has been all about. In his gospel, in the first chapter and in the first verse, In the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He begins his gospel, and he begins his all three of his epistles, and it's almost like he's saying, hey, this is where it is. And if he were here today, he might even say, look, I don't care about your religion, and I don't care about your routine. I don't care about all the exteriors of your Christian faith. What are you doing with Jesus? And what are you doing with him? Hebrews, or rather Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Who's the word? Christ. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it may become holy and without blemish. That tells me, as John has talked about over and over, we know that the Word is Jesus Christ. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. When we're reading this right here, we're reading Jesus Christ. See, that's a concept it's hard to grasp that concept. We know this is God's Word. We know this is the Bible. But if we take John, the Apostle John, at face value, this is Jesus Christ right here. That's how important it is. This is how we know what to think. This is how we know what to believe. Kind of puts us to shame sometimes, doesn't it, when we get so busy in life and we put this aside. And it's so easy when we put it aside, we start relying upon our traditions and our routines. And he wants us to be in this right here. John says, this is he that came by water and blood. Now, remember, when Christ was crucified, John made a very important observation, and he was the only witness to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ that made this observation. Let me read to you John 19, verse 33. This was when Christ was on the cross. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. Now John's here at the scene, and this soldier pierces the side of Jesus, and out comes this water in this blood. And I truly believe that that went into John's memory. And many years later, when he wrote his gospel, many years later, when he wrote these three epistles, he circles back to that. Because here he says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now I want you to go home with something, a thought, because we'll pick it up next week. Here's the thought right here. John, in his 28 or whatever it is, in his gospel, and in these five chapters in 1 John, and then 2 John and 3 John, he is trying to hammer home a point that the only way that we can have an assurance of our salvation is to do it with what God the Father brought out of eternity and brought to this earth. He declared to us the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And the only way that we're going to satisfy a just and holy God is to believe in that Son, Jesus Christ. And the only way that we can believe in that Son is to do it through the Word of God, which is activated. It's made real by the Spirit of God. That's what we'll find in the rest of this chapter. It's all about Jesus, who he is, believing him, trusting him. The only way to get to God the Father is through Jesus Christ the Son. And the only way to get to either of those places is for the Holy Spirit to take us there. We believe by faith. We overcome the world by faith. We are victorious in our Christian life through faith. And he's going to help us to see that. You see that this magnificent power that the Holy Spirit has to help us understand. As a lost person, he shows us our lostness. He shows us our need for a Savior. We accept him and become a child of God, and we're placed into this wonderful family of God, into this wonderful unit, this institution that he's put together, that's manifested physically by us being together physically. But he doesn't stop there. He says, hey, guys in Slayton, Texas, this is what's important. Is that among you, in whatever you choose to do, in whatever program that Chris Downer and David Jenkins puts together here, you know, in our services together, the most important thing is that God's Holy Spirit is in charge. That's what he asks us to do, is allow God's Holy Spirit to make it, to put it all together, put all the missing pieces in place, and help us to see how we can live in such a way where he's approved by our choices in our life. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for giving us these wonderful tidbits of truth and these little diamonds of information from your word. And we pray, God, that you would help us at the end of all of this to remember and to see, to perceive, to understand how precious the word of God should be to our lives. God, I thank you that 22 years ago, you brought my family into this church family. And it's special because it's a place where the Word of God is preached and it's taught. And Lord, it's been that way for a long time. And I ask, God, that we ask that it would always be that place. I pray that these campers who are in Minnetonka camp this week would be touched by you in such a way that they would have a desire to come back to Slayton, Texas and continue preaching the Word of God. Touch these young boys and young men's heart to serve you. These young women and these young adult girls, Lord, give them a passion to want to come back here and serve you. Spread the gospel in whatever way that you choose for them. What a great privilege it would be as we get older and as we die off the scene. What a great privilege it would be for there to be just a whole basket full of young people who want to continue the ministry and continue to bring glory and honor to you through this church body. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.